This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have the one and only, there can be no substitutes, Walter Bosley joining us this week on the Paracast. He hasn't been here in a few months or even a year or so. He has been a busy bee, and we'll find out more in a moment. Our weekly guest co-host is none other than J. Randall Murphy. Welcome back, Randall.
Glad to be here. Should be a good show.
Now, just to let everybody know here, Randall and I have been busy bees, too. We're preparing for some updates to the site and introduction of a new online store to get Paracast merchandise official, except no substitutes, official Paracast merchandise. So that's going to be pretty exciting. You'll have that announcement, hopefully, this month. The other thing I did last night, and I was up all night doing this, I'm going to try to be non-technical. And the reason I'm going to do that is because I do a second radio show called The Tech Night Out Live, and I don't want to have people interested in that stuff to have to understand what I'm saying. So I'll make it easy here, and non-technical, which is I did some work on the back end of our web server to optimize performance because we've seen situations which some of you know, where the site really is fast, and sometimes it kind of drags a little bit. And they say if a site is too slow to come up, people will go somewhere else. I don't need that. You know, there's so many sites to choose from. So I work to optimize it so that the issues or instances where it slows down are not as severe. It's still going to happen when thousands and thousands of people are downloading a brand new episode of the Paracast on Sunday morning. It's still going to be a little bit of a slug, but I try to do all sorts of changes recommended by our web host Namecheap to make things work better, and I hope they do. That's it. Randall, you want to say anything about what's going to come for the site and the new store? Give like a little bit of a hint.
Well, we've got another person working with us from Denmark who is helping to build online shopping feature into it, and is essentially really generously putting in a lot of work to rebuild the homepage and add new products and make it more interesting and easier to use. So it's looking good. I think we've got a good little team going here with that, and we'll just have to see how it develops over the course of August.
Now, we've had online stores from time to time on the Paracast. And we had Cafe Press, and then we went to a company, I think from Canada, that went out of business without telling me. So suddenly, people can't order official Paracast merchandise. But this is starting to sound like an ad, and I don't want it to be. You know, I just want to make things convenient for everybody. If you have any problems with our site, or have ideas of things we can do other than go to that other place, which some people might want, write us news@theparacast.com, or click on the contact link on our site or in the forums at forum.theparacast.com. Now, when we have Walter Bosley with us, it's an exciting time because he's got this really, really extensive background with the FBI and intelligence. I don't want to get political because sometimes that happens. But as a former FBI agent, what is your feeling about the agency being attacked so much? As non-political as we can make it.
Right. Oh, well, you can talk about that. But first of all, let me correct you again. It's former Air Force OSI agent. I was an operational specialist when I was with the FBI. I just want to make that distinction again because they're very sensitive about those distinctions.
Okay. Operational specialist as opposed to an agent. What's the difference?
Yeah, I worked undercover. I had two two of my assignments, San Francisco and Manhattan, I worked undercover. I was, I worked out there on the street, as they say, when I was assigned to San Francisco. And I worked at an undercover location doing sensitive counterintelligence work while in Manhattan. And you don't have to be an agent to do those particular tasks. And then from the FBI, I went to the Air Force, and they hired me to put me in OSI as an agent because of my bureau experience. So after officer training school, got my commission, and I went home for Christmas, and then immediately after the holidays reported to the Agent Academy. And I spent all my active duty time at the Air Force as a special agent of the Air Force OSI. And then after that, when I left the Air Force, I went into counterterrorism, working around the world doing that stuff. Interesting progression, yes.
Very interesting. So hearing the Department of Justice, the FBI, constantly and chronically attacked. I know it's hard to be non-political because that's so political. What's your feeling?
Well, as I said, you can actually discuss these issues, fortunately, without being political, even though there's a lot of politically motivated stuff on both sides going on out there. However, from the perspective of, the on the street operational, former operational employee, kind of thing, I still have, contacts in the organization. And I can tell you that, 90% of them are disgusted with some of the stuff that's going on within their own upper management ranks, very much so. I find it disappointing because during my time with the FBI, I had nothing but a positive experience. And I learned, the basics. I was essentially first taught to be a spook when I was with the FBI. And then, all the stuff after that was more advanced and carried it further. But, I cut my spook teeth, so to speak, with the Bureau. And I like the Bureau, and I hate to see, this, for whatever reason, without getting into the reasons, I just hate to see this kind of crap happening within and to and of the organization. And, my sources tell me that 90% of the folks out there agree with that. They got a job to do. They do a hell of a job. They're out there really trying to get the bad guys. And when they see this stuff in the political arena, it's really disappointing.
Now, one of the other things you have to consider when you can look at all these attacks, if an FBI agent is called in a trial to testify, that lowers his or her credibility because you got all this political stuff going on and you have all this news about the FBI being unreliable or being biased against one party or another. That can be used against them and hurt the ability to try a case and get a responsible judgment.
Right. Well, sure. Any criminal defense attorney now is going to have something to latch onto. I mean, it could be a white collar crime case, a corporate fraud, right? And the defense attorney could say, well, gosh, look at the recent history of the FBI. How do we know this particular FBI agent investigating my client, didn't have some political motive or some personal motive to want to go after my client? My client is so innocent. They can use that, now. So you're absolutely right. It certainly does very possibly hurt credibility when it comes to important things like testifying, handing over a report. And you're supposed to trust what this agent has found and reported, and it's a mess.
You see, if you look at any police procedural on television, what happens? An officer, whether it's with police or FBI, testifies. The first thing they'll do is try to impeach that person. Now I wonder if they'll simply say, can we subpoena your email texts and messages?
Yeah,
let's just see what you were saying behind the scenes. Of course, civil service laws, I believe, don't allow them to actually make appointments based on someone's private political beliefs. As long as they keep it to themselves. We got more to come with Walter Bosley Our guest or weekly co-host is J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Aging is one thing that affects everyone. George has talked about the power of stem cells for years. Now, there's a new serum that harnesses that stem cell power to bring back your youthful look. Beverly Hills doctor, Nathan Newman.
Stem cells are basically our fountain of youth. This is what maintains our body's reparative, regenerative abilities. As we age, every cell breaks down and needs to be replaced, and what replaces it is the stem cell.
Dr. Newman and Jeunesse have developed Lumines. Lumines takes the science of stem cells using the same growth factor complex that literally heals our cells, slowing the appearance of the aging process. Apply Lumines twice daily and on average see results in a week. Learn more, watch our video, and order today at a special Coast website, healthylooking.com. Plus, there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's healthylooking.com. Lumines for a healthier, much younger, better-looking you. Buy now at healthylooking.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, let's talk about the paranormal. In this respect, there have been rumors over the years of some level of FBI interest in UFOs. Like the FBI had dossiers, I'm using that term, on George Adamski contactees and stuff like that. Why would the FBI be concerned? it doesn't seem to be anything that's part of their normal operations, or am I wrong?
Well, no, you're right and you're wrong. Because, you know, we're talking, particularly when you get into the 1950s era of all this, remember, we had just come off World War II in the prior decade, and by the 50s, we were neck deep in the Cold War. So a lot of people don't realize that the FBI's much larger mission is the national security mission. You know, they see the bank robberies and the white-collar crime and the profiling of serial murders and the what we call the crim side, the criminal investigative side of the house. That's the mostly what the public sees, because the national security mission, you know, so much of it's classified that they don't realize that the great majority of the FBI budget goes to the national security stuff, which of course nowadays includes the counterterrorism. But in those days, and in the days I was in, it was mostly counterintelligence, counterespionage, because when I was in the end of the Cold War and stuff, but in the 50s, it was the height of the Cold War. And remember, there's been a lot said and written and pointed out how the whole UFO thing could have been and was by some perceived as a Soviet psyop. Okay. And at that time, since there were those who were considering either it was a Soviet psyop or was this advanced Soviet military technology, therefore that makes it a national security issue. So when you're talking about now UFOs and, you know, the alleged contactees or the reported contactees on U.S. soil, that becomes as much the FBI's bailiwick as anyone. And by the 50s, the Air Force OSI had only existed since 1948. So that would have been a logical agency. And certainly, I don't know the specifics, but certainly they were looking at it. But because it was a national security issue, that's why the FBI had kind of an obligation to look at these things. And remember also, they were involved in operations during World War II. FBI agents would parachute behind enemy lines. To my understanding, that's where the mafia came in and greatly helped the FBI. When you think about it, remember during the JFK era, when Bobby was going after the mob before JFK was assassinated, obviously, you know, you have this attitude where Hoover was almost, you know, saying mafia, what mafia kind of thing. And Bobby was wondering, hey, how come the Bureau's not going after these guys? You know, it's my understanding, and I'll express this as my opinion, that probably one of the reasons Hoover didn't go after the mob was because they had helped us in World War II, you know, against fascist Italy and, of course, the Nazis by extension. With all this kind of stuff in the mix, I digress there with Hoover mafia thing, but it was in the 50s very much an FBI concern to at least, you know, be looking at. So,
well, the Air Force has liaised with the FBI in the past, right at the beginning of the modern era of UFOs. Mm-hmm. For example, the, you know, the collections branch of the Air Force Office of Intelligence, their analysis was carried out in concert with the FBI. Actually, the Special Agent S.W. Reynolds was his name. He was right involved in it. And those people would do background checks and in order to sort of clear witnesses and so on. So I could see how they could send somebody out to, say, check out Adamski and see what was going on with it.
And remember that the Air Force OSI's literal origin is with the FBI. When the Air Force wanted to create their own investigative agency, the FBI sent their, I think he was the number three man at the time, Carroll was his last name, and the FBI let go of him, let him go to the Air Force. He was made a brigadier general, and he was the first commander of the Air Force OSI, and he literally created the OSI on the FBI structure. This is why when I went from the FBI into the Air Force OSI, I felt very comfortable, because a lot of just the way the offices and the way the organizations are set up is FBI for the Air Force, essentially. But yeah, the OSI and the FBI did have that. They've got that long tradition because it was literally an FBI agent from headquarters who created the OSI structure for the Air Force.
That's really interesting. Now, I've been dying to ask you this question. We had Richard Doty on, of course. Mm-hmm. He says he was with the FOZ as well.
Yeah,
and And that seems to be pretty much without question now. But what about his claims that during his briefings and introduction into the program that he was inaugurated basically into the ranks of a sort of a secret UFO investigative group where there's literally hundreds of these agents around different places in the world. Mm-hmm. And he talks about seeing films of UFOs and being basically brought into the fold. Now, did you experience any of that, or have you heard anything else from anyone else inside FOSI other than Doty?
Well, I'll tell you, I was not personally brought into any. That would be like a task force or a special working group kind of thing. I was not brought into any specific thing like that regarding UFOs. I was brought into, there's an acronym that I used to never say because we weren't really supposed to talk to, you know, certain acronyms and stuff. But in the last election, the SAP or the, you know, Special Access Program, SAP, that's what I was in. And so what that means is you have a clearance where, you know, you have access to certain technology. You can be exposed to it, you know, and you get cleared for this stuff. It's called, we refer to it colloquially as cleared for weird. And he was for a while in the same operational program, SAP, that I was in, counter-espionage operations. Okay, I was chief of the branch of counter-espionage operations for OSI at Wright-Patterson for 3 years.
I find it really curious that that you could be so closely related to that and not know anything about it if it actually existed.
Well,
saying it could be theoretically compartmentalized to the degree that not have known about it?
Oh, please, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, as far as Doty himself, yeah, he definitely was an OSI agent. He's not making that up, because when I was in, there was a project that I was working on, and the first time I heard about Doty, I was an OSI agent, and his name was brought up by my supervisor as kind of a cautionary tale that something he had worked. Now, of course, now we know that what it involved, but I learned subsequently, you know, that it involved Benowitz and all that stuff. But at the time, this was in 94 or 5, he was brought up to me as more, kind of a cautionary tale. So, yes, to go back to what you're saying, absolutely. If he was involved in that, I could totally see something like that being so compartmentalized that, sure. And even though I was cleared for weird and did what I did, absolutely there was stuff going on, I'm sure, that I didn't know about.
We have to break here. We've got Walter Bosley, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, I'm Patrick Colbeck, and I'm running for governor. Time for some straight talk. I'm pro-God, pro-family, pro-life, and pro-constitutional carry. As an aerospace engineer, I like to fix things. We need to fix our roads, our schools, our auto insurance, our health care, and our tax policy. That's exactly what I will do if you elect me as your next governor. Principled solutions prioritize your best interests, not lobbyists. Paid for by Patrick Colbeck for governor.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S., the Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber, go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own, and only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code RADIO at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Twin wildfires in Northern California have forced thousands of people to run, and more may have to. Governor Jerry Brown's been touring some of the burned-out areas and says he'd like some federal help.
I've asked the president to make a major declaration. He's done it in the past. I'm confident he'll do it again.
A relatively rare tornado in New England. At least one woman was injured when the twister touched down in Webster, Massachusetts, toppling trees and damaging a number of homes in the city. Aaron Polito is the lieutenant governor in Massachusetts.
We'll work with our social service agencies to determine what the needs are so that these families can take the next steps in partnership with the state and this community.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995. Immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I would assume then, Walter, that you probably, therefore, because things are compartmentalized, need to know and all that, you probably were not written in on what Doty was doing.
Remember, Doty, he was not active in doing this stuff when I was in. I don't know what he was doing, you know, specifically between 1994 and 99. But obviously the stuff he had done, I think, was in the 80s and such. But the thing about, here's the interesting thing about your clearances. You get read in, as they call it, and you get cleared to a certain level. Like I have TSSCI, and then I have what we call tickets beyond that. And I'm not allowed to say how many tickets I have beyond SCI or within the SCI structure. Now that they talk about the SAP acronym publicly, yeah, I was beyond that. I was in a SAP. Now, what that means is you get read in to a certain level so that you can be exposed to everything up to that level, just in case you need to be, okay? So that's why a lot of times when you hear guys talk about their clearance, they kind of don't qualify it. I apologize if I've said it once and haven't qualified it, but I try to qualify and say, look, this was my clearance level. It doesn't mean you're read in on everything. So, you know, some folks like to say, oh, I had a high clearance. Well, it doesn't mean you knew as much as you're, you know, you want people to think you did. But when I got my briefings, the way you're sitting there and the things they're, you know, because they're showing you images and they're explaining things to you, in a way, when you get to a certain level, you come away realizing, okay, what they just read me into was just general enough that they could fit, you know, anything in there. In other words, here's what I'm trying to say. You come away realizing you are actually cleared for more than, you know, you thought you were. Because as you learn more things, you realize, oh, okay, the way that works, the way that fits within the technology and the applications of these things and the systems, that fits this thing that I was briefed in on, okay? That's why they do that, because in your day-to-day work, the course of your duties, you know, you're going to get exposed to specific programs, specific technologies, specific little things, and they want to make sure that they kind of across the board cleared you, you know, for that. Like if you get briefed in on something to do with satellite operations, okay, the way they brief it, it's classified, what they're, you know, the details are classified, but the way they brief it, any satellite stuff you would get briefed in on or learn about after that, up to your level, is covered under what they told you about. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make perfect sense, actually.
Yeah.
So in terms of coordinating all of the intelligence, is how high up do you have to go and how many people are there who coordinate the stuff that matters? I mean, it can't just go into some filing cabinet where nobody looks at it. There must be someone who says, okay, well, what do we do with all of this stuff?
Yeah, there is.
How does that work?
Well, for instance, the OSI has something called the IOC, the Investigative Operations Center. And those are guys at, you know, the OSI headquarters base. And they are just that. They are the Investigative Operations Center. When you're doing any kind of ops or any kind of investigation that requires operational activity, these are the guys at headquarters that they have all the pieces. Okay. You're out in the field. You're working the issue that you're working, and it might have connection to somebody else's operation or somebody else's case or some other agency's activities. Well, the IOC, the IOC, they, you know, they let you know what you need to know regarding that. So if it's going to affect your activity, or if you need to not do this, or if you need to do something in conjunction with another agency, you know, so just within the microcosm of the Air Force OSI, we have that. Okay. Now they'll work in conjunction with, intel analysts at DIA because it's Air Force and, you know, Defense Intelligence Agency. They'll also work with, they'll coordinate with CIA. Everything I did when I was at, Wright-Patterson, when it came to the, overseas, you know, the international foreign, soil aspects, it had to be coordinated with CIA. Specifically what, you know, the kind of stuff we did in this specialty. So, yes, you have people at your own headquarters level at OSI. Also, there was an aspect of what I did at Wright Path that I was working with our guys at the Pentagon almost daily. So we had, you know, analysts, operational oversight guys at the Pentagon that I actually reported more to OSI headquarters in the Pentagon than I did my own commander. Interestingly enough, I was assigned to Detachment 101 at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and my commander, Lieutenant Colonel McDonough, would write my performance review, and he would give me, you know, local additional duty tasks, and I would do stuff for the detachment. But really, our discussions about my work was most of the time me going over to his office and informing him what we were up to. It wasn't me going and him saying, okay, you work on this case, you work on it. We didn't do that. It was me going over saying, well, this is what headquarters, this is what, you know, the program has us doing. So it was kind of a unique situation.
That makes perfect sense, though.
Yeah.
Actually,
so we are always working with analysts and oversight. Yeah.
Okay. So then, of course, Wright-Patterson, that's, that name's brought up quite a bit in the ufology community. So did you have any exposure to any of that while you were there?
Not as such. And that's the way they do it.
There obviously would be things, you know, that because of your commitments to your former employer, you couldn't reveal.
Oh, of course. And I won't.
All right. But so you may know all sorts of secrets that we'll never get a handle on until or unless you're able to overcome that pledge, as they say.
What it is you get, I've certainly briefed in on certain technologies that could explain some what, you know, the public perceives as UFOs. Yes.
Sure. That would be terrestrial technology. That'd be our own stuff, you know, secret aircraft, SR-71s or whatever.
Yeah, and I've said, well, in other things, you know, I've said it before, you know, I think that, and people don't like to hear this, but, you know, I think 90% of what, you know, most people look at and they think is a UFO from another world is really some type of classified technology, whether it's military or whether it's the private sector testing something, you know, that's proprietary. But, you know, it's my opinion that they a long time ago realized the best way for the government to have culpable deniability is to hand custodianship of whatever ET stuff, for example, over to a private contractor, you know, so that the government can say, oh, we're not holding UFOs or any of this crash retrieval stuff. But, you know, the truth is a private contractor that they may have even set up and created for this purpose is holding that. And as a private contractor, that makes them a private corporation. And that makes what they have proprietary.
Now, wouldn't some of the companies doing independent space flights, mm-hmm. SpaceX, et cetera, mm-hmm. be the ideal places to work with? What does Elon Musk know that he can't tell? I'm being maybe half
right.
facetious here. But based on right. what you say, Walter, that seems to make mm-hmm. a lot of sense. That
sure.
if you're going to choose a company to mm-hmm. take over this technology and mm-hmm. work with it, you'd pick a place that it already has earned their skills. And the Falcon 5 may be based on some secret government technology that we know nothing about. Or Tesla. Is a Tesla developed from reverse engineered alien technology? I'm getting a little bit excessive here, but it's the time to break. Walter, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Parrotcast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
Hey, Dave, you in for golf this weekend?
Oh, I can't. I promised I'd find a plumber to fix the sink and a painter to paint
just the... Just use Angie's List.
Doesn't that cost money?
Not at all. It's free to find pros in your area who can do the work. You can even read ratings and reviews from other customers.
What about roofing pros?
Angie's List has pros for everything. And to save time, they'll even match you to the best pros for the job.
Oh, that's awesome. Looks like I'll be able to play after all.
Find the best pros for your next project at AngiesList.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Micah Hanks of the Grayling Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Walter Bosley with J. Randall Murphy and Jean, and now I ask that question half seriously. But if we're picking private companies working with this technology, mm-hmm. any technologist, new developments, whether ours or reverse engineered, wouldn't a SpaceX or a similar company be an ideal candidate?
Yeah, maybe yes, but probably no. From my experience, what you're going to have are the usual suspects, the major aerospace companies. Okay, they're going to have divisions that are they're sensitive. Their own version of a special access program within their company. It's probably going to be something more like that because those companies have been doing aerospace things a lot longer than Elon Musk, guys like him or Branson or whatever. And now, where they could be useful would be in the perception management end of, whatever would be, being done with secret space technology, okay? These guys would be useful for what they would want to, the military, whatever, would want to project in the public psyche about what's going on. But I would think, going back to that traditional military industrial complex, that's more likely the guys who are going to be creating this technology for the military.
Okay. And the other thing is Elon Musk is a loose cannon. Let's face it. He can be kind of wacky.
Yeah, they're very... And what we're talking about here, the DOD, the military in general, and particularly the Air Force, they're very conservative in their security values, you might say. And so, exactly. They would rather go with Boeing and the structure that they've set up for checking into people's backgrounds and, the relationship they've had with a company like that over the decades than go with, a guy like Musk. As much as I encourage, what Musk is doing, what Branson is doing, I want to see the average person have access to space travel, ultimately.
Yeah, but they're not going to get the same type of stuff that's going on inside, a Lockheed lab.
Oh, no. Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen.
But this is really interesting because it makes a perfect segue into up at that level of compartmentalization and secrecy. Mm-hmm. We can segue out into this idea that we've touched on before here and in the forums about this sort of you've generically called it a breakaway civilization. Or mm-hmm. when we got into it in our discussions a little bit more, it's almost as if it's possible that this could be something that is not simply like, say, a separate civilization off in the bowels of Antarctica somewhere, but something that's almost integrated within our own structure to the point where it's invisible to the rest of us, almost like a parallel, maybe a parallel organization of types. So can you theorize or speculate, or what types of things have led you to – where's the connection between these people and the higher-ups in our society and this theorized breakaway civilization?
Well, like, you know, just like you just said, you know, it's all theory. Yeah, and I know I've written an entire – you know, one of my books is on, you know, this breakaway thing. So, I'm kind of all in there on that concept. That's a fact. But still, it is a theory. And some people have this. I've said this before. I'll keep saying it. There's a lot of people out there that have the idea that when they think of breakaway civilization, or secret space program, but breakaway civilization, they think of these mysterious trillionaires who have like the Starfleet, these advanced, incredibly large ships, and they're living in these amazing bachelor mansions under domes on the moon or some other planet. And I just slap my forehead and just, oh, God. It's more like what you said. You know, these guys, they're a little more, no pun intended, down to earth in their existence. You know, they're just people that have the sufficient means. You know, go back to Dolan's basic definition, and I'm just paraphrasing, but you know, you're talking about people that have the sufficient means to develop and possess a technology independent of the rest of, you know, known civilization. Now, sure, it's very possible that this wasn't developed entirely independently when you're talking about anybody involved, particularly with the military-industrial complex. It's my opinion that our military-industrial complex is itself a product of the Prussian/German method of going around the world and exporting the German-Prussian model of industry to use that new host country's resources to then build your own thing wherever you are in the world. Halmer Schacht was doing this during the World War II era. It's actually been a model since the medieval era of the Prussian states and the Prussian kingdom and stuff. So I see our military complex, our military industrial complex as a product of that exact plan of exporting, you know, from the German model into a foreign country. I think this is what the Operation Paperclip guys were really up to. I think, you know, Operation Paperclip, they saw this, oh, here's how we get into the United States. We know Germany itself has its butt kicked. This war is over, but, you know, our thing can continue on. And, you know, when you look at how many of those Operation Paperclip, you know, Germans were involved in the building of our aerospace industry at that time and the military industrial complex, you know, there you go. And that's what I mean when I say, okay, they probably, this theoretical breakaway, they probably used our resources, our military, our companies to develop, you know, these breakaway technologies. So in that case, theoretically, it would be tied to our known industry, right? Our known companies. And these guys would, you know, they wouldn't live in domes on the moon. They, you know, they'd live where rich guys live, you know, in Rhode Island or Beverly Hills or, you know, wherever.
In the Hamptons, you'll find people who are part of the breakaway civilization. So they're hiding in plain sight. Yeah. They're not going to Antarctica. Yeah. They're here.
Right. Yeah, that's what I think. And like the secret space program, the technology, you know, no, folks, there's not likely a Starship Enterprise, a fleet of Starship Enterprises. It's my opinion that a secret space program vessel, most likely at this point, is they're mostly, if not only, interplanetary, so to speak. And they would look and operate pretty much like a Navy submarine. When you think about it, the navies of the world that have had submarines for 100 years now have been developing the same exact technology you would need for an interplanetary vessel. It's self-contained. It operates in a hostile environment, right? There's got to be life support function on it. You just take the, and I'm not the first guy to say this, you just take the concept of the submarine and you put it in space. And I think that's what which implies also a smaller, you know, more, a little bit more realistic and rudimentary type of craft than, you know, what some of these people are proposing, like, again, the Starship Enterprise or the Corellian cruiser in Star Wars or whatever.
Yes, but what you're talking about here is it still has to be a place that can contain a crew for a very yes. long period of time. Years, maybe.
Right. Well, that depends on what propulsion systems they've developed, of course.
Warp 7.
Yeah, if they have some type of propulsion system that they've worked out that they can get to Mars in, you know, 2 weeks, well, okay, you know, that changes that game. And again, I say if. I know somebody out there is going to say, Bosley's saying they can get to Mars in 2 weeks just because, you know, they hate me or whatever and they want to say something. But, you know, I'm saying if they have this, you know, it's not necessarily the model of, you know, it takes years to get somewhere.
Right. This is where, you know, when we say if, and it's fine to speculate, but this is where we tend to sort of step further and further and further out on the branch until
we're
hanging on to a little, you know, kind of a twig at the end here. And,
well,
and
sort gotta, of my yeah, question here, process, yeah.
my question here then would be, okay, so we've got these guys up at the top of the Afazi that you were talking about in this central zone, the people with all the pieces who are responsible, depending on whichever group you're involved with, who are responsible for putting it all together and therefore know all about the people they brought over after the war in Germany, how they created the rocket program at White Sands.
Right.
They know they provided them with all of the resources to do that.
Yes.
And therefore they must know about this other program, if there was such a thing that could get somebody to Mars in a couple of weeks.
We got more to come with Randall, Gene, and Walter. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Standing up for what's right. Helping out when things go wrong. Raising our voices alone or together. Seeking the truth and speaking our minds. Not just making records, but breaking them. Fighting for victory on the battlefield and on the playing field. Seeing the world through new eyes and the earth from miles above. Redefining beauty, brains, and what it really means to be queen. Making ourselves heard on stage and on screen. Showing the way in Silicon Valley and showing up for others wherever help is needed most. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.